Hello, listeners. What's better than two lesbians not knowing that they're deeply in love with each other? Two lesbians in a band not knowing that they're deeply in love with each other. And what's even better than that? Literally everyone else already knowing that they're in love with each other. In this episode, we're talking about the webcomic Band vs. Band. It's beautifully drawn and full of queers and really excellent, so please enjoy this episode as much as we enjoy talking about it. Now, before I cut to the theme music, I just wanted to say thank you for all of the listeners that stuck with us over the past year. It really means a lot, and I love seeing the listenership grow, but we need your help. The best way for podcasts to grow is word of mouth. So if you have some queer friends that might be interested in this show, please pass us along. Ratings and reviews are awesome, and Chloe and I really love them. But nothing helps a pod grow more than new subscribers and an expanding listenership. So once more, thank you all for listening and subscribing. Now, let's get on with the show.
Welcome to In Media Les, a podcast about queer relationships in media. I'm Chloe.
And I'm Val.
And today we will be discussing the webcomic Band vs. Band by Kathleen Jacques. I don't know what I was thinking when I suggested this episode, except for the idea that I really used to love this webcomic. And I don't know if we can even talk for a full hour about this, but whatever, it's here. We're talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty good. I'm digging it. And it's been going on since 2010.
Well, she stopped updating it in like 2018, 2019.
Oh. But still, like almost a decade.
It went on for a while. And I think there are a few things I want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I just really love this comic. Like, I've been one of like the biggest supporters of it. Like, she did two Kickstarters, I believe, maybe three. And at least two of them, I got the top reward and got her to do, like, Art of Me and Justice.
Oh, or not Justice. That's cool.
Sassafras was my cat at the time, because this was from a while ago. So that's I've got Art of Me done by her. I don't know, I've got all this other, these doodads around my apartment. I've got stickers, I've got little postcards, I've got lots of different things from her. I've got all the collected volumes that she's put out. I've got some sketches that she did in the book covers. It's really cool. So that's all to say, I'm a really big fan of Band vs. Band. It's a neat, very queer webcomic. And it's not like trying to be anything. I don't know. It's not telling some epic story. It's just this goofy comic about like two rival bands. One's kind of like, I don't know, I always imagine them as like a twee pop band and the other is like a metal band and the two lead singers are secretly in love with each other.
Well, secret is a strong word.
Okay, it's not very secret to anyone but them, but I thought maybe we could use this as a vehicle for talking about like webcomics more generally. And I don't even know how to start this conversation, and it's been a long day. Like, I had, like, a rough day at work today. So we're just going to get started, and I'm just going to ramble. And let me start by asking you this, Val, which is, what are your initial thoughts about Band vs. Band?
Well, first of all, the colors are beautiful.
Yes.
I really like just the way that the artist draws it. Like, I don't know, it's just very pleasing to the eye.
Yeah, so the color palette, mm-hmm. just for people to know, I think she's maybe six colors. It's not a lot of colors. It's like two shades of blue, two shades of red and pink, and black and white. So I guess six.
Mm-hmm. So the first thing that I actually thought, of course, is very similar to Bubblegum and Marceline.
Yeah.
So then I looked up when Adventure Time began, and they started pretty evenly. They're both 2010, so it's definitely not that inspired by it.
No.
It's, I don't know, maybe, but I don't think so. It's just very interesting to see how that trope is so persistent, even prior to, you know, Adventure Time.
Are you talking about, like, the good girl and the bad girl, or what are you talking about?
Kind of, exactly? Like, the pink bubbly one who's actually put together, and then, like, the mean goth punk who actually is, like, a sweetheart.
Right.
So that was my initial thought. After that, it actually got me thinking on, well, first of all, just, like, zines in general.
Yeah.
Because it has a very strong zine vibe.
Yes, and in fact, there's, you know, some updates that were just, like, supposed to be, like, basically a page from a zine.
Yeah, quite a few of them.
Yes.
And then it also reminded me of Gone Home, weirdly.
Okay, how so?
Well, because in Gone Home, we have, I don't remember, I think one of them is Sam or something.
That sounds right.
Like, the two girls in the relationship, they did, like, zines together, and one of them was in a band.
Right.
And we find all those posters and everything.
And there's that kind of Riot Girl aesthetic, that kind of band versus band fits into, yeah.
So, first of all, this comic evokes a lot of media. It also feels very nostalgic in a weird way. I'm not a person who ever read zines. So when I was maybe 4 or 5 years old, whenever I would go to my grandparents for the summer, my friends there, like, we'd have a notebook, each of us, that was kind of like a diary, but not really. Basically, we all just made our own little private zines. And we would put, like, little games in there and little, like,
What did you make a zine about, Val? You have to tell us.
Well, first of all, I was, like, 4 going into 5, maybe up till first grade. So it was just a summer activity with my friends. Then it would have, like, little mazes in it and little jokes. And sometimes we'd cut out, like, so there's a gum that we used to buy all the time. Let me Google it.
Is it Bazooka Joe? Or is this some kind of Russian gum?
I don't think. Okay. It's called Love Is.
Love Is.
Google it. Love Is gum. You'll recognize it. At least, I hope you recognize it. It's like these little awful gums.
Okay. I recognize, I mean, vaguely. I think the big one, I don't think this is as big in the US, though. Like, I feel like the big one here would be Bazooka Joe.
Probably, yeah. But, like, all of these little gums have little comics in them, right?
Okay.
And we would have pages where we get all the comics we got from the gums we bought at the store that day, and we would glue it together and things like that, you know? So we were making these zines before we knew what zines were.
Yeah.
So this comic, or anytime I see a zine, honestly, just reminds me of that time, weirdly, even though it's not even related, you know? There's very little correlation other than DIY little artsy project.
But it's that aesthetic, and I can see why that would be evocative in your mind.
Yeah. And then my mind traveled to a couple of, like, I think 3 years ago, beginning of COVID, basically.
Yeah.
I used to volunteer at Blue Stockings, the bookstore.
Okay.
And I stopped when COVID hit because they kind of, like, closed for a little bit. So everyone kind of stopped. And I think now they don't have volunteers anymore. I think they have, like, a full-time staff.
Yeah.
But we used to have a lot of zines. And it was things like little zines for cooking. There were zines to show how to bind properly. Little DIY, like, I think I've seen a zine where it just tells you how to, like, install lighting fixtures. Maybe I'm making it up. I don't know. It was just some weird, like, very technical, like, electrician sort of zine. But it was just, like, a bunch of these zines there, and that's also something that reminded me of.
Okay. I had no idea you worked at Blue, or volunteered at Blue Stockings.
Yeah, I think I was there for, like, half a year.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a while.
Wow.
So I went through a journey reading this, and I haven't gotten very far, but it brought up a lot of stuff. I'm wondering, like, if you experienced anything like that while you read it, while
okay,
you read this.
Okay, so perhaps I should tell you my journey with this
comic.
Yes,
please do. I'm
because
so curious.
Clearly it has meant something to me if I have, you know, spent, I don't know how many hundreds of dollars getting, like, merch and whatnot. And I was supposed to meet Kathleen. She was going to be at FlameCon in 2018, I want to say.
Mm-hmm.
And her flight got canceled, so I never got to meet her. So maybe someday I'll get to meet her in person because I was very excited. But alas and alack and all that. So, okay. I started reading this comic in about 2012, 2013, I want to say. And I feel like at the time, I don't know, I was thinking about how I was going to talk about this today. And I thought about, like, I feel like it is amazing looking back at how, just how much and how diverse and how amazing the choices for, like, queer media are now compared to what they were just, like, 10 years ago even. Mm-hmm. And, like, I just remember, like, I'm having a very specific mental image in my head, which was that it was, mm-hmm. like, a Saturday. I was in my crappy old apartment that was, like, awful, that had, like, there was just, like, a hole in the floor, and we just had, like, the knowledge that you just couldn't step there or else your foot's going to go through the floor. And there was a light in the kitchen that was just permanently on. Like, we couldn't turn it off because it broke. So, like,
amazing.
That was where I was living, like, immediately after I finished grad school. And I just remember there was, like, one Saturday where I was just sitting in my bed. And I remember just being like, because I went through this real comics kick from, like, I want to say, like, 2013 to, like, 2016, where I was, like, very obsessed with, I would go, like, on Wednesday and pick up the new, like, you know, the little 25-page Marvel comics or Image or whatever from the comic book store, you know, in Midtown Manhattan, Midtown Comics. Shout out to them. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if they deserve a shout out because it was always kind of a very not a very pleasant space to pick up comics because it's so busy and, like, none of the employees are particularly nice. So I don't know if that's a shout out, but that is where I would go and get comics.
It's a shout.
I'm starting fights here. you know, Midtown Comics is going to, like, get mad at us.
One of our consistent listeners.
Yes, I'm sure. It's not a bad comic book store, but it's not, like, special. Like, I feel like there's ones I've been to. There was one in, I should shout them out. There was one in Washington, D.C. Oh my God, what was the name of it? Okay, I'm going to Google it now. I'm sorry, this is going all over the place.
As it should. This is what this comic is about, Chloe.
Okay. It was called Phantom Comics.
Okay.
They ruled. That place, I could go there. I could spend hours there. The employees, like, all seemed to be, like, queer people or allies. And, like, it was just such a nice place to visit. And they always had great recommendations. And I feel like I could have just, like, basically lived in that store. And every time I went there, I spent, like, $100. But, and speaking of zines, they also had a great zine selection there. So anyway, I was really big into comics. And I just remember one day, like, Saturday night being, like, none of the comics I read really have a lot of queerness to them. Like, there was Young Avengers, which we've done an episode on, which was another one of my favorites at the time because, hey, it actually addressed the fact that, like, there could be queer people in comics. And, you know, I think Lumberjanes had just started coming out around that time and The Wicked plus The Divine. So you had these, like, ones that were kind of there, but there weren't a lot of them. And I remember just being like, I want, like, a good queer webcomic. And I remember searching, and you could, like, you would Google it and you would find, like, these Tumblr lists that people would put together where they'd just be like, you know, here's a link to every queer webcomic in existence.
And it'd be like 10.
I mean, a little more, because there were a lot of, you know, there's a lot of MLM, like Man Loving Man comics. Mm-hmm. Like, there would always be
I forget those exist.
Yeah, because, like, there's a whole thing of, like, the whole anime, what's it called? It's a yaoi. There's some word for it.
Yaoi?
Is it yaoi?
Oh
God.
Oh, I have so many friends who watch anime. I'm glad it's
YAOI. Boys love is what it means. Yaoi. Mm-hmm. And the female equivalent is Yuri, but, like,
I remember that because Yuri on Ice, Yuri yes. is a Russian name, okay. and it was also a pun. So I like puns.
So yeah, for whatever reason, though, there you know, there's like a gazillion of those. I think it's because both like gay men and straight women seem to really love yaoi for whatever reason, especially in Japan. Yaoi is made, I think, primarily actually for straight women for some reason.
But here too. I don't MLM understand. Romance novels primarily written by straight women and consumed by straight women.
Why is that? Is that because it's like there isn't a power differential and there's something kind of
I think interesting about well, that? Chloe, I think there are power differentials.
Okay, but like
I feel like the way that people have explained it to me, which I kind of understand,
yeah,
is it's like super manly and that's hot.
Okay.
But I mean,
what could be more masculine than two men? Like, that's like twice the masculinity. So I get it.
Also, like, there's a slight disconnect where people don't have to analyze their lives or similarities thereof. Okay. So there's like that distance.
They don't have to be like questioning their own preferences. Like, why do I like this? They can just be like, well,
this has nothing to do with me. It's just fun. Yeah.
Two boys kissing.
Yeah. Whereas I feel like for like queer women, most of them that read romance would read queer women romance because it's kind of hard for us to find stuff.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel for gay guys too, because a lot of the romance is just not written by them. So I'm sure that for them, definitely, is not even a question. Yeah.
Yeah.
They have to go extra out of their way to look for it, because everything that like, most of the stuff that's for them is, like, hypersexual.
Yeah.
And, like, very specific, at least from my very limited experience. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I have not read a ton of yaoi. If you are an expert on it and want to come to, like, educate us, I would love to do that episode. So
for real, if you, like, did a thesis on this stuff or just, like,
you're just a fan?
Nerd about it.
Yeah.
And just know little things.
Let us know.
We love talking, if you haven't noticed, especially me.
So I'm taking the longest detour
as you should.
Like, telling this story.
Apartment with a hole and a lot of comics.
And a light that would turn off. So there are these Tumblr lists, and I remember like half the links were dead, and some of them would be like stuff where it was like a couple pages long, which is fine, but you know, you want something long, and or some of them it was like an incidental character who was like in the background, or there was that one that was basically like Archie, except the two female, basically the equivalent of Betty and Veronica, end up hooking up at the end, but it took a long time to get there is all I'm going to say, and it was kind of not satisfactory. But yeah, so there were some other good ones that the names escape me at the moment. There was something that was like Missing Monday. That one was pretty good.
That sounds sappy.
Was it? Or it was some, yeah.
It,
was,
it sounds it, like 500 Days it, of Summer, but like
it's exactly what it sounds like. Like two women fall in love. One of them disappears. The other one's looking for her. Like it was very sad.
Oh, okay. So that is not what I thought it'd be.
No. It was something like that. I might
this
be totally
like, what is
butchering
it? Where's Alice? Or Alice is Missing?
Alice is missing. Very similar
Alice?
To Alice is Missing. Where is Alice?
Where is she? Alice?
This
Where'd
is our,
you go?
Our goofiest episode ever, I think.
We both had something. Very long work days.
It was a long day. Anyway, so like on this list was Band vs. Band. And I remember it was described as like, the only description of it was like, it has beautiful lettering or something like that. Like, it was something so like, it was such a bad description. It's not wrong, but it's kind of like,
it's also not right.
It's kind of like, I don't know, playing Mass Effect and being like, yeah, dude, you should totally check out Mass Effect. It's got beautiful music. And it's like, yes, that is true. And the music is really good. And shout out to Jack Wall and the other people who worked on the music for Mass Effect. But like, that's not my draw in a BioWare game. Yeah, you know, like it had some kind of very generic description like that. And I checked it out because I was desperate and I got hooked. And you know, it is a very particular type of storytelling that I feel like, because, you know, it still happened. Like, I don't want to say, like, no one tells this type of story anymore, but I feel like it's not as popular to tell these kind of, like, will they or won't they slow burns between two female characters, because I think they were so cliche early on.
I am a little bit burnt out on those.
Exactly.
I feel like, not only because of that, but first of all of them are so long.
Yeah.
And I love comic book artists.
Yeah.
They do an excellent job. A lot of the comics I read update very regularly.
Yeah.
But even with regular updates, it's still usually, you know, one or two a month. And then it takes them years and years and years. And like 5 years down the line, you realize that, hey, they haven't really moved any closer to being together.
Yeah.
And a lot of them never get finished either. So that sort of thing, like, right now I'm reading a couple of those.
Like which ones?
So my friends
quick.
Yeah, I have to go to it. Yeah. My friends and I call it the green comic.
Okay.
Because it is colored entirely in one shade of green.
Okay.
I'm gonna send it to you.
Yes,
and it's
do.
It's like it's the most generic little thing. The title was the guy she was interested in wasn't a guy at all. It's like fan fiction, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like very little thought put into it initially. So I'm gonna actually link this to you right now.
Okay.
There's another one that started off being called Their Story.
Okay.
I think you know that one.
It sounds familiar. Wait, so this is literally called the...
literally, I'm not kidding.
The guy
literally
she was interested in wasn't a guy at all. Okay, this is kind of the hyper-literal, like, Japanese titling that I really appreciate.
Like, literally.
Like that one Becky was trying, that anime Becky was trying to get me watched, so that was called, like, I reanimated as a slime or something, and I was just like,
I wonder what happened in that.
Yeah, I wonder what happened in it.
And this is the one I'm talking about, although I don't go in Dynasty Reader for that. They have like translation on Tumblr. I haven't been keeping up with it. It seems like it has been updated since January of 2020.
I didn't know you were such a manga fan.
I think these are the only two. Read a lot of manga in high school.
Okay.
And by that, I mean, I read, like, three, but a lot.
I really love the tags on these, by the way. But, like, just random ones are tagged. Glasses, ice cream, sleeping.
Yeah.
Bullying delinquent.
Love that one.
Animalization. Oh, my. I'm clicking on that one.
Oh, furry? What?
I don't see anyone becoming an animal.
I don't know. Which one is that for? Because I don't remember that.
It's Their Story, November 27, 2016.
Okay. Was it one of those, like, whatever it is.
I don't know if it's, like, a dream. I'm clicking through it. I don't see any animals.
Look, you gotta get clicks somehow, and if you can get the furry fandom into it, you're set. Those folks have all the money in the world.
Oh, here it is. There's a goose.
Okay, not what I expected.
And a bear. And the goose is saying, shut your bear trap to the
It's
to
a
the
ba- pun.
It's
That's why I like that comic.
Okay.
Chloe, let's get back to it.
Okay. I feel like we're talking about webcomic. We're doing what we're supposed to. Anyway, I forgot I was telling a story.
I thought you were pulling one over me.
It's been a long day, dude.
Dude, I worked 11 hours.
Okay.
I guess
I can't complain too
much.
No,
no, you can. You can.
I only worked like 9, but...
My day went by quick, and 9 is still a lot.
So, yeah, I got into it. I started reading it. I think Kathleen kept like a really good update schedule, which was like once a week. And so even though
Mondays,
there was like,
it says,
yes, Mondays once a week, I think it was Thursdays for a while, I don't know, just something like that. Kind of like our podcast that moved around a little bit.
wow,
yeah,
called out.
I'm calling us out. Like, can you really call yourself out, or is it that just self-awareness?
Well, we could get on that topic, but you'd be digressing.
I'd be digressing again. Anyway, and I don't know, it just clicked with me. It was a lot of fun. I really like all the characters. I think there's some depth mm-hmm. to them. I think Honey Heart in particular, you know, she's dealing with a lot of, like, there's this whole arc of, or not arc, but this, like, underlying secret thread of, like, a lot of familial repression. And I think from her mom, who, like, really encouraged her to, like, follow traditional gender roles, that you get little hints of throughout the entirety of the comic.
I haven't noticed. Maybe I'm too early into it. I got through like 50 chapters. Well, not chapters, but like I think that's like 60 updates or so.
I'm trying to find the one I'm talking about so I can send it mm-hmm. to you. But there's one where she's kind of talking to herself, well, herself and her cat, and she's saying some things that it's like very clearly like she's a little traumatized and this is how she's expressing it, but suddenly the website is going very slow, so thanks for that WordPress, because I think that's where it's hosted. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep, it has just completely crashed on me now. Is it loading for you? There we go.
Yeah, but kind of slowly.
So we were talking about slow burns, and which is like the idea that slow burns are kind of like tired, mm-hmm. but I think about it like individually and I don't have a problem with it, but because like I feel like there's other slow burns that I'm totally okay with, but just as a whole the idea of like
yes exactly.
thinking about it is kind of exhausting. And I feel like it's because we got so burned out in the mid 10s by like the will they or won't they kind of feeling of Kurosami and Clexa and Bubbling.
Yeah, and then what you call it? Why did I just space? I had one. Oh, move on.
No, you have to remember now. This podcast has ground to a halt.
All I can think about is Daphne and Velma, which is definitely not what we're talking about.
Daphne and Velma.
I do not know why.
Interesting.
I'll remember it in the middle of like your sentence.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start talking so that you can have, so there can be a middle of my sentence. And I don't know what I'm going to say now because I am tired, but.
Hi, tired.
Oh, God. So. So I do want to talk about, like, where this comic goes because.
Ruby. Remember.
Oh, yes. You texted me about that this weekend.
I did, because it finally became canon. How long has it been on? Forever. Continue your sentence. I'm sorry.
I watched Ruby for the first time when I lived in that crappy apartment. So
look, it has been on for a while. We're connecting all the dots.
Yes. So I want to talk about, because you didn't finish it, but am I okay to spoil things
for you? Oh, yeah. I mean, this isn't very plot heavy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to ruin any enjoyment, but...
I mean, I just got through an arc where they eat mushrooms and think they went to hell, but they also could have just gone to hell.
Okay, that was, like, the first big arc, though, right? I believe so.
I think so, yeah.
Sorry, I'm trying to find the one that I was thinking about with the cat. There's a lot with cats is the problem.
the reason I said that it didn't feel like it from where I'm at is there was one where they're looking at Turpentine's baby pictures.
Yeah.
And Honey Heart was like, oh, I wish I could do ballet as a child. Instead, I did like some sort of radio classes.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
That felt non-conforming. So to me, she's like. That also is something that reminded me of Bubblegum, because there's, like, that scientific thing. And then Turpentine is, like, the artsy goth.
Hold on. I'm sending you one of the ones I was thinking about.
I'm holding it.
Okay.
In my heart and my hands. It's loading. It loaded faster than the other. And, oh, yeah, okay.
And this one, which I guess
it's her grandma. Stop having these thoughts.
Well, yeah, and then the second one, you see that her grandma told her, you know, she went to her grandma and said, "Grandma, when I grow up, I want to marry a lady." And
that's literally the page I'm on.
Her grandma said, "Oh, Heidi, of course you can't.
Uh-huh.
You're just being silly. You would never do a thing like that to disappoint everyone who ever loved you."
Yep.
I just love that she's haunted by sockets, by the way, because sockets are kind of creepy looking when you think about it.
Now that you mention it, that is extremely sad.
What?
Because it means that she was a very lonely child who's always in her room.
Yeah.
My God, Chloe, why would you bring this up?
I'm sorry. I told you there is this really secret sadness.
All the gays are so sad.
There's also the one where she talks to her cat, and she does tell her cat, "Once when I was little, I ate a whole juice box, like even the cardboard." Which has to be one of the funniest things I've ever read.
Yeah, it also has such a, like, kid alone figuring stuff out vibe.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
Did you eat crayons as a kid?
No, I ate a lot of grass.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah, were you a crayon eater?
No. Okay. I didn't do anything that was, like, bad. My parents weren't strict. I was just a weird, law-abiding child.
Okay. Yeah, I ate grass. I think I ate a little bit of dirt. But I wanted to eat grass.
Gotcha. It was just in there.
Yes.
I also ate a little bit of dirt because my grandparents had a garden, and I would take the carrots, and sometimes I would wash them, but not thoroughly because I was a toddler.
Yeah.
I was a very adult kid. Like, I was a tiny adult, and then I got to, like, the age of 12 and remained at that age till now.
Okay. I mean, it makes sense. You had a lot of younger siblings, so I feel like that sometimes influences
even us before growing that. Up.
Okay.
I think because my parents were so young when they had me.
Yeah.
Because my dad was 20, my mom was 21.
Yeah.
Or maybe, like, 21 and 22. But, like, they were children, and then they had me, and my I feel like my mental state matched theirs somewhat. Like, my dad and I painted on the wallpaper and, like, drew on the wallpaper with markers as, like, a fun pastime. So, like, that's
okay.
Me.
Okay.
Yeah. It was really cool. I loved it. But also because there were students in, like, dental school, I was always just chilling.
Yeah.
And, like, when I wasn't in kindergarten, I would just hang out with the neighbor kids who were, like, a year or two older than me. It was great.
Yeah.
We had our own little business to get to. Everyone stayed in their lanes. The adults did their thing. We did ours. Dang, this comic is very nostalgic.
Yeah.
I just, like, right. I'm thinking about the past.
It just makes you want to, like, think about your, like, past, I think.
Did you eat grass with friends, or was this like a solitary just you
I feel
thing?
Like I remember doing it at my cousin's house.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just remember being in their backyard and pulling out some grass and eating it. Like, there's like a specific incident that I can remember.
Nice.
Yes.
I respect it.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about like the trajectory of this comic because I think it's really fascinating. And I think it reflects kind of how queer media evolved in the tents. Because like this comic basically spans from 2010 to 2020. So it is really cool, kind of, you see the evolution of queer media alongside with it, where it starts off with this like kind of slow burn, will they or won't they, although, you know, we're pretty sure they will, between Honey Heart and Turpentine. And then I think kind of as it went on, Kathleen kind of realized that like everyone's just waiting, just do it. And I think she goes for it at a certain point. And I forget.
Oh, heck yeah.
I'm trying to find, I found it, but I'm just trying to wait for it to load. It happened in 2016 when they first kissed.
All right. Ooh.
And from there, it was
only
just kind
6 years?
What? Only 6 years from the first issue to get to where we were, where they kissed. And then, like, from there, I've got to appreciate the fact that, like, you know, there was no, like, I don't know, they didn't do all the crappy things that you would worry that they would do. Like, there was no, like, oh, are they going to break up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, arc. Or, like, there wasn't, like, an arc, like, oh, my gosh. You know, like, there's someone else that, I don't know, Turpentine might be interested. There was nothing. There was no, like, Trouble in Paradise arc, which I've got to appreciate because, like, holy crap, I hate that. When I've been invested in a relationship, like, and, like, there's been that slow burn, and then you get to it, and then, like, I don't know, they have to do a sequel or whatever, and they're like, well, we got to have a Trouble in Paradise arc. And it's like, no. I waited six darn years for this darn relationship. You cannot take that away from me. Can't do that to me.
Absolutely. But also, like, those arcs most of the time feel very straight to me.
Like, as in played, like, straightly, or, like, for straight people? Like, what does that mean?
Like, the arguments almost never coincide with, like, queer people I met in real life. Like, the problems that these couples tend to have are very, like, straight lens. Whereas I feel like a lot of queer people that I know, most of them just, like, yeah, they can argue about petty things. But for the most part, like, first of all, like, half of them were bullied. The other half have, like, religious trauma. They're not going to argue over a lot of the arguments that a lot of these sort of arcs tend to have. Like, it's a lot of miscommunication that, let's be honest, we queers just talk about things. You can't get us to stop talking about them, you know?
Yeah. I see. Okay, I see what you're saying.
So sometimes when that sort of arc is done right, I really enjoy it, but I can't think of it.
Yeah, like, think of one good Trouble in Paradise arc.
All that's coming to mind because of this comic and Pink and Black is Bubbling.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because they started off as exes.
Yeah.
And it might not have been the initial plan.
Yeah, we didn't have a slow burn of, like, we didn't have a slow burn where they got together and then, like, then had the Trouble in Paradise. It was the Trouble in Paradise happened.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a different trajectory.
Which is interesting, and it made sense. So, for example, let's talk about that. We had an episode on Obsidian.
Yeah.
And slight spoilers, but, like, they argued about Marceline's career.
Yeah.
And Bubblegum being unable to kind of, like, fully embrace it in a way that Marceline appreciated. Right? They had their own things happening. They were competing for attention. So their relationship at that time didn't mesh as well, right? They had their own things that they couldn't go around, and it worsened it for them. But, like, it doesn't feel like it's out of nowhere.
Right.
It felt very thought out, and, like, it felt purposeful. It wasn't just like, oh, nothing is actually wrong, but these two people misread the situation and they're mad at each other.
Right.
Which a lot of times is what happens in these sort of arcs. This was, like, a legitimate, like, they're not clicking at this point in time. They're making each other worse. And that's always fun.
Yes.
So you're saying this comic doesn't have that sort of thing?
No. So there's, you know, they kiss, and then they kind of, there are several updates about them kind of exploring that and coming to terms with that and, like, all that. And then I think there's kind of the arc about, like, their friends finding out, because kind of, you know, there's been this whole thing about their rival bands and, you know, the Honey Hearts band is very, like, you know, I don't know, twee and goody two-shoes, and Turpentine's band is very, like, rawr metal, and, like, I don't know, it's just them getting to, like,
I feel understand. Like, Coco knows everything.
Well, yeah, Coco knows everything, and Zero probably does too, and he just doesn't say. But
Zero is
the drummer for the
Candy Hearts. That looks like Fred,
yeah,
from Scooby-Doo, right?
Who's
with the ascot?
Who's gay and Jewish, I believe.
Oh, nice.
And has a beautiful dog.
I haven't even gotten to the dog part.
You've got so much to learn about Zero. For someone who never talks, you learn a lot about him.
I'm excited. Also, yes. Atomic Dom. She knows everything, but she does not want to get involved, and I love her for it.
Yes.
She has a thesis to work on.
Hey, I get that. I get that.
I know you more so than most.
Yeah, Atomic Dom also rules. There's a very funny part where Turpentine turns up at one of Atomic Dom's academic conferences and starts eating all the food, which is like one of the main reasons that
people go.
I remember choosing things to go to in my master's program based on whether the flyer said they would have pizza or not.
Nice.
I made that some pizza good friends. Is never good that. Though. Nah, they got it because this was at Columbia. They got the good pizza.
Okay, fair.
Was that not your experience?
In School of the Arts, we mostly had alcohol.
Well, okay.
We always had alcohol and very little food.
A public health program can't, I think, purchase that much alcohol for their students without some eyebrows being raised. So,
School of the Arts really did. Okay. We always had, like, any event, it was just wine.
Okay.
Just, like, bottles and bottles and bottles of wine.
Calm down, Hemingway.
Not that much food. It really says a lot, I feel like, about us.
Says a lot about our society. Anyway, so, yeah, what was I trying to say? Anyway, so, yeah, there's a lot about that them getting to, I don't know, it's exploring, like, actual stuff about, like, a relationship, which is, like, getting to know each other's friends and figuring out how this relationship works within the context of the fact that you're, like, different people with different interests, but nothing about it is drama, nothing about it is, like, oh, this would all be resolved if they just had, like, an earnest conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all just kind of fine. And it's good. And then it kind of just ends at a certain point, not with, like, any, like, resounding moment of, like, the end. But kind of just, like, and they're happily ever after. And that's good. They're together. The end. And, like... Maybe there'll be more updates eventually. And I kind of feel like that's a good way for a long-running webcomic to end. Like, it doesn't have to have... Yeah, it did a thing. Yeah, it doesn't have to end with, like, a punctuation mark. It just can just... It did its thing. I'm sure Kathleen is busy. I think she's, like, a graphic designer. It's, like, her day job. So nice. I'm sure she's busy. And maybe it'll come back someday. And I'll be really excited when it does, because... God knows I read through it probably twice a year still. So this is just, it's one of my favorite webcomics. And I don't know, it came to me at like a very pivotal moment in my life. And it's silly and it's goofy. And, you know, there's a part where like Turpentine gets really sick and a tapeworm talks to her. And yeah, like the arc you were on where they like hallucinate the devil, and I think it's just the burrito stand that they're going to across the street. It's something that has like a Diablo theme or something like that. It's something silly like that. Like, it's just
there's
a goofy
also
comic.
That narcissist boy that I'm a huge fan of.
Arsenic?
Or
no, the angel.
Angel guy. Damon.
Damien Angel.
Yeah.
I think. Yes, he's amazing.
We need a little more of him in things. I always like a narcissist that doesn't really harm others and just is a narcissist, which is what a narcissist is mythologically.
I think he joins the Candy Hearts briefly.
That's cool. It's because he likes that fellow on the other band.
Coco leaves the Honey Hearts for a moment because she's got... Okay, so I don't remember exactly, so I apologize if I'm getting this completely wrong, because I believe it's something like Coco gets a little upset because she realizes that Honey Heart is just totally in love with Turpentine, and I don't know if, to me it was always implied that maybe she's a little jealous of that relationship, but Coco just takes a little break from the band, but eventually comes back, but like... I think during that time, I believe Damon substitutes.
Interesting.
Yes. And I believe Damon's band, Venus and the Angels, if I remember correctly, I think Venus is a drag queen. I don't remember exactly.
This comic is just trans colors.
Yes.
So I feel like a lot of characters are probably some sort of gender nonconforming, or at least I hope so.
And also, like, bisexual lighting.
A lot. Yeah, a lot of that.
Yeah.
It's kind of everything, y'all.
Sometimes it's both.
Yes. I mean, Arsenic is a vibe. I like him. He's he's just, excuse my language, but just so slutty. Can I say that?
I think that's not a swear. We're allowed to say that.
Yeah. He's just a little slut.
Yeah. I mean, and he owns it and he's proud of it.
Yeah, it's really great. And then the first couple that we see him with, there's like, they're like a side story too.
Yeah. And that, Ian and Stacy, who solve mysteries. And also both so hook up with Arsenic.
It's just so weird. I like it.
I like the idea that they like maybe met because they both hooked up with Arsenic.
I think that is the case because Stacy's like, ooh, I really like him. I wish we could get married, but I think he's gay.
Yeah.
But like she calls him over the weirdest things. She's like, I invited my professor to my house, but I don't know how to cook. And I told him I speak French.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, you did. It makes sense.
Yep.
He's not going to help you.
I love that line she also had, I think, during one of their mysteries where she said, my horoscope said not to go in any fun houses today.
Yes, literally.
Oh my, there's so many good lines in this. Like, it's so good. And there's the art is amazing. There's so many moments that I want to, like, quote at people, but, like, it's not, like, how you can quote, like, I don't know, Lord of the Rings and people know it. Like, it's just like, I want to quote this webcomic that me and no one else in my entire universe of my life, except now Val, hopefully, has read. And I'm excited about this because we're going to have so many inside jokes.
Yes, we will. We don't have any yet. I'd love to have
some. Yeah, we have zero. Zero. Val and I have never made an inside joke before. And if you mention the name Derek, we definitely don't just start laughing.
Well, I can't say the thing we say for that inside joke.
Oh, God, I guess we can't. Okay, what is an inside joke that we can say on here? Just to make everyone who's listening feel left out.
Adjacent.
Okay, got me there. We're not supposed to talk about him. He gets self-conscious.
He loves it.
He'll never know. He'll never sit through.
He knows. I tell him every time.
He'll never sit through a 53-minute episode.
No, he won't. He'll take a word for it.
Yeah.
I had a question for you.
Okay.
And I completely spaced because unlike you, who is excellent with questions, I have the mind of a squirrel. And the little...
A 12-year-old squirrel.
A 12-year-old squirrel. And the little audio thing on Audacity, the little wiggles distracted me and I lost the question. I just want you to know it's
the Audacity's fault. Those wiggles will get you every time. Oh, here comes Benny.
Hi, Benny.
She is very upset because, I don't know, but she wants you to know that she's here.
And I love her for it.
Who doesn't love her?
What was my question? It was very important.
Yeah, what was your question?
Maybe I'll remember it in the middle of your sentence because I love interrupting.
I always have to come up with sentences that you can interrupt. It's not fair. I think Kathleen is still active on social media, so...
Oh, I love that.
We'll tag her when we post this. And
yes, we should.
Kathleen, if you listen to this episode and you want to come talk to us, we would love to have you on.
And we're sorry for the first half an hour talking about everything but the comic. But we're not sorry.
We're not really sorry about that.
That's what your comic did, bro.
I love this comic. And yeah, I mean, I guess we
open
I
letter. Know,
we've been all over the place. Yeah, this is just this episode is an audience of one. If you're listening to this and you're not Kathleen Jock, you can just
you pretend
can just
you
turn
are.
It off.
No, pretend you are. This is to you, listener.
This is to you, Kathleen. Oh my God, this is going to be so embarrassing
Kathleen.
If she does actually listen to it.
I'm never embarrassed.
I'm just very embarrassed all of a sudden.
You get embarrassed about everything. The only thing that'll embarrass me is if I trip in public.
I am fundamentally an easily embarrassed person. And I know this about myself.
I have no shame.
Okay. We know this. I know this. If you have played one round of D&D with Val, you would know this.
I have no shame, but I am. I try to be cognizant of other players. I'm respectful about it most of the time. I just try to see how far I can push a DM. with not killing my character. I failed 3 to 8 times already, but...
That's an interesting choice of ranges. Four to seven.
Ro died 3 times. I think you killed Capri a couple of times.
I didn't kill her. I took her arm.
No, she died.
Oh, did she?
Yeah. I mean, I took her arm.
I don't remember. Oh, yeah, you took... Okay, whatever. I don't remember.
I broke the game.
Back to Ban vs. Ban. I'm trying to think of anything else to add. I feel like maybe this is a good wrapping up point unless you have something to say. Do you remember your question?
In the middle of the night, you're going to get a Discord message from me. And it's just going to be a question that I wanted to ask you, and I remembered.
Okay. And we'll re-record the entire episode. So if you're listening to this now, this is actually our second attempt at recording this episode. Val forced me at 3 a.m. It's 3 a.m. And
that's why there's no sirens outside of my house.
Yeah, this is true. It's very late at night. That's why we're both kind of a little loopy. It's because we're so tired. And I have to work in like 5 hours. So like, this was really rude of Val. And please, please write in and tell her how rude she's being.
Yeah, Kathleen, write in.
Jesus. I'm like blushing now.
Tell us what we have. What are some things?
You never remembered your question. You just never remembered? Oh, God.
I will interrupt.
I have been, like, stalling and vamping for you, and I feel betrayed.
It'll be our outtake when I remember.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you all so much for tuning in for this extremely loopy episode that we have just done about Ban vs. Ban. You can check it out at BVB, like, B as in boy, V as in Victor, B as in boy, comics, comix.com. Just wanted to like mention that because I realized we didn't actually say where you could find it. And then to mention our social media, we have a Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. It is at InMediaLez. Our subreddit is r/InMediaLez. And our Tumblr is...
thepodinmedialez.tumblr.com.
You can email us at InMediaLez@gmail.com. And our website is InMediaLez.com. Thank you to everyone who interacts with us in any capacity. Rates, likes, subscribes, emails, tweets, writes a Tumblr message, reblogs, generally acknowledges that we exist as people on this pale blue earth.
I don't exist. I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, ghost? That's spooky. It's not even October. You can't get into this yet.
It's close enough.
Any last thoughts, Val?
A last no question. But I think we'll see you in the next one.
And God bless you.
And rock on.
Really rock on.